Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me to. This passage, and I'll
Saturday Night Live at the Hot Topics.
Pastor Shula wasn't here last week, and we still had a wonderful time. Tonight, we have Evangelist Hampton on the line. Also, Pastor Shula is supposed to be calling in, but Evangelist Hampton, you can go ahead and say a prayer until he get online, and then we'll bring him live, too. Evangelist Hampton, with the prayer for tonight.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask you to travel these airwaves, Lord, and those that are listening in, Lord, we pray that you would give them that miracle, Lord. Whatever it is on their heart, whatever their desire tonight, Lord, may they hear from you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you is able to do exceedingly above which one could ever think or thought. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, there'll be a divine intervention, Lord, that we be encouraged, Lord, that we will grow, Lord, and that there'll be any sick among us, that there'll be any unsaved among us, Lord, before this session is over tonight, Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have sent in a special miracle. Let your ministry angel encamp around about us, Lord. Now, John, prepare to come in tonight. Whatever the topic may be, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that it would be a word direct from the throne of grace in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that we might receive that blessing, Lord, that would take us a little further in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and we ask. Amen.
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 Amen. Yeah,
right,
Father got through. I tell you, what a devil was trying to fight me off and getting on tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the prayer. Amen.
And we don't. And if he don't show up, we got to question who we are. So I like when he show up. And now we
Amen.
Got victory.
That's
got
right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen, amen. Well,
yeah,
nice. Thank God for you tonight, Evangelist Hampton. I thought we weren't going to be able to get in touch with you tonight. Amen. And I know tonight we're talking about a subject that you know a whole lot about, so I definitely wanted you to get involved with it. And I thank God for you, and I thank God that you already done said the prayer. And so tonight, I don't know if you remember, but we're talking about the Romans Road to Salvation. The Romans Road to Salvation, and anytime you say that you want to go ahead on and say something on it, even now if you want to, you can go ahead on and explain it, or if you want me to come and say something, I'm trying to give you some leeway tonight, let you go ahead on and kind of lead it for us tonight, because being an evangelist, I know you know a lot about this and about salvation,
Yeah, that's true. I know a whole lot about it, and I'm quite sure we all do, and I don't know who all is listening in tonight, and they might understand, and I'm almost willing to believe that the most of the people that are listening in probably have been born again. They're probably saved already. And we know that Jesus died on the cross, and his death during his resurrection, and that he came into the world, and he paid the price. And my question to everyone out there tonight, now that you have received Jesus Christ, do you believe that, his blood that he shed on the cross and died for us, and if we believe in him, we have eternal life? And I'm getting towards tonight is, how do we get to where we at today? What's going on in the world right now concerning all the evil things that are happening? And what can we do to further the gospel? And what can we do to set those who believe souls on fire for the Lord, that they might be able to actually bring more souls into the kingdom? And I'm leaning a little bit towards the night, not getting away from the subject. But now that we are born again, and we know that we are in the world, but not of the world, and I would just like for those who are listening, and John and Nathan and all of us could agree that we really need encouragement when it comes down to how are we to behave, how we behave ourselves while we are in the world but not of the world, that those who have not received Christ, even if they never pick up a Bible, that they may look at the life that we live and cry therein, and see the difference, and then we'll have an opportunity to witness to them and tell them why we are different. We are in the world, but not of the world. And I was just looking how Jesus Christ prayed the prayer for his disciples before he was taken out of the world, and he said that he sent them back into the world. And I would just like for you, John, and I know you can go from Genesis to Revelation and just comment a little bit about, I think, from that chapter 17 of St. John's, beginning at the sixth verse. And I want you to just comment a little bit about in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And how Jesus Christ prayed that prayer, and I believe that prayer today, is just as fresh as it was 2,000 years ago. And what can we do to let the world see that we are different? Not talk it, but to live it. And how that
Amen.
Christ answered that prayer. I think it's you can find in St. John the 17th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. And I think as we get an understanding of what it is to be in the world and not of the world, how the power of the Holy Ghost will work in us so that people can experience the presence of God as we minister to them the Word of God. And that, to me, is how we can make a difference in those who are not saved, those who are not born again. And I believe most of us, like I say, that are probably listening tonight, have been born again. And we want to just know that we are in the world, but not of the world. Do you have that? St. John chapter 17?
Yeah, I'm with you. Amen. You're right. This was Jesus praying to God, and he said, well, I'm going to back up to verse 5. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So, you know, we know he's talking to the Father here. And then verse 6 says, I have manifested, and that word manifested, that means reveal or made known your name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word, and they have kept thy word. And right there, to me, that makes a difference right there on what he said in verse 6 when Jesus said that, you know, first of all, you know, that that they have kept his word.
Yeah.
So right there, and I want to coincide with that scripture about them keeping God's word. And once we keep God's word, we know that it's going to be opposite of the world. Because, you know, God's way and man's way is totally different. And so we go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 55, and, it's starting at verse 8, where God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. So when man see that we are following God's ways, they see a difference right there. And I want to go to verse 17. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he tells what the truth is. He says, thy word is truth. So the way that we as born-again believers are sanctified, and the word sanctified means to be set apart from the worldly ways of the world. So, you know, we show that we are different from the world by keeping his word. And Jesus says that sanctify them through that truth. And then he tells us again what the truth is. He says that word is truth. So when we keep God's word, it automatically sanctifies us or sets us apart from the world. And if it sets us apart from the world, or the world see that we are different, then automatically, when people see a difference, it can bring about a difference in their life. It's kind of like the old saying, you reap what you sow. If you sow a difference can happen.
Amen. And God only in that ninth verse now, that we're talking about, that he's praying now for those that would believe on them who he has given the world to. Now, what about that ninth verse now? This is the world where he's talking about, I pray, I do not pray for the world. I want you to break that down so that they might, those that are listening, can understand that those that are not a believer, that is of the world, that nice verse.
Okay, yeah, Jesus says, I pray I pray for them, which he was talking about. Let me see. Can I see it clear? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, which he was saying that he prayed for his disciples, those who are following God and God's ways. Okay? But, yeah, pray for them, which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, that's the ninth verse, man.
Yeah, starting at the ninth verse, he said, I pray for them, but I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me.
I'm sorry. I got my Bible so color coded that, you know, I missed the part where it says, I pray not for the world. In other words,
right.
You know, he's praying that, you know, in other words, when he said, I don't pray for the world, he means that, like, you know, that the world won't continue in evil and, you know, for people who are doing ungodliness. He's not praying for them, you know, to continue to do evil and wrong. But he's praying for people who will do God's will. So that's what
Amen.
He's talking about. Because we know
Amen.
That the devil became the god of this world system, according to the book of Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. You know, and so, yeah, he's not praying that, you know, for worldly people to continue in sin and wickedness and stuff like that. Because we do know that he said, I have other sheep which are not of the fold that he had at the present time. And, you know, and he was also praying for those too. And because we can go down and see further proof that he also prayed for other people who were not a part of his flock at the time. And,
Amen.
Yeah.
And we see that all this evil and the things that we see that are happening now in the world is not of God. All this killing, murdering, and all these people that have not received Jesus Christ and that are in the world, but apart from Christ, they are still of the world, but until they come into a saving knowledge of who Jesus is, that means that, as you said, the wicked, the whole earth is the law and the fullness thereof, but Satan, the god of this world, is in control. And Satan, the god of this world, is actually the one who is feeding those who have not come to Christ, those who have rejected Christ, but we who are believers that are in Christ, God has prayed for us, that the devil cannot touch us. He cannot do no more than what God allowed to happen. So we are the ones who can make the difference. And I think somewhere in the scripture it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn away from their wicked ways, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. So we as believers have the authority to turn some of this wickedness and some of this stuff that the devil is doing, not only to the people of God, but how the devil is wrecking, that they is trying to actually take as many people down the hill with him as he can, because you know his time is short. So what I see in this is that we understand that we are in the world, but not of the world, and we have to discern what we are taking in, whether it's of the world, well, it's not of the world. And the only way we can do that is through what we are doing tonight. Is studying the
Amen.
Scripture, trusting God's word, and fasting and praying, and letting the Holy Ghost in us, Christ in us, because what? If we are not of the world, but in the world, Christ already done prayed for us that we have the authority to change things. We have the authority to turn things around, to get back to being born again. You can't even be born again apart from the word of God. And so as we look into this chapter and we're reading here tonight, Jesus Christ made it plain. He said, for I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep those, your name to your name you have given me, that they will be one as we are one. I've seen that God give those disciples to Jesus Christ. Some Jesus Christ just walk along, and all of a sudden they just came to Jesus, but God gave them to him, and he kept them, didn't lost any of them, and now he's keeping us. He's giving us charge now to go forth into the world and to preach the gospel so that people can what? Come into that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that getting back to what? As we know the difference between between the things of the world and the things of God, then when we choose the things of God, God is going to use us. And I just want to take that a little further here in this chapter so that what's the difference between the things of the world and the things of God, so far as we as believers can really point out to those who are newborn babies in Christ that haven't gotten to where we've gotten yet, how can they know what's of God and what not of God through the word of God? Some scripture maybe God is bringing to you right now. How can we know the difference? How can we say, well, this is of God and this not of God? How can, like, this guy, the American Idol, and I see that word, American Idol, to me, that's of America. That's the word. That's not God's system. That's man's system. But yet we mm-hmm. support these things. How do we support these things? By even indulging in looking at them, the radio or TV, when we sit down and watch these things taken forth, that means that we are giving ears to the work of the devil. And I see that, you know, I mean, how do we spend our time when we are actually trying to feed from the word of God, and how can we make a difference by actually living it so that others can see the good work and glorify God? You can't even have a spiritual conversation with a believer if they are not really studying the word of God, because what? Because the way they perceive things and where they get their revelation and can't back it up by the word, then you start an argument. And I just enjoyed being here tonight to be able to say that what the Bible says, study the word of God, rightly divine it, that you may be able to what? Assure your approval unto God. And I like the way you break it down, you know what I mean? Make it real simple and plain that those who are on the airwaves tonight, that want to call in, that want to listen to the word of God, that may be able to say, well, okay, is going to a movie wrong? Is going to a dance, a nightclub wrong? Is actually pastors and leaders, you know what I mean? What is it that we need to understand that we need to do in order to show forth the love of God to sinners? What can we do? Say, even yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. How did Jesus Christ dealt with sinners? How did we visit sinners? And wasn't afraid to be able to be seen with sinners. But we got some people now feel like it says, shun the very appearance of evil. I mean, how do we separate that from actually going out doing God's will and not allowing the enemy to cause us to go into a shadow and hide because we are afraid to mingle with sinners? You know, I mean, without being actually become partakers of what they're doing. So that's why I was leading tonight, being in the world but not of the world. And Jesus prayed for us that through the word that we can believe continually in the apostle doctrine. Now, we know that when we live according to the apostle doctrine, that is the word of God, which we have to what, follow up and believe on that. So I like the way you break it down so simple and plain, you know what I mean, that the Bible's even a fool can understand. That's what we need more of this, because some people can read the Bible, but if you don't have an understanding of how to break it down and to get what we need, how can you live it? You can't live if you don't understand how to apply it to your life. And that's what this is good for us to know, that what once we are born again and bring souls into the kingdom of God, they'll listen to you and they can understand what you're trying to say so that they can grasp it. And the word of God, God's not trying to trick us. He just wants us to just accept the word just like it is. But when you break it down and teach it the way you're teaching it, I get blessed. I just get stirred up. And as an evangelist, and I know that what I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, His blood buried, and His resurrection, then once I have given people that and then they accept Christ, that's not the end. That's almost like the beginning. Now you have to be taught the Word of God. And as you teach Amen. The Word of God, you come into all these other things. So just Amen. Keep on bringing it down. Let's go a little further here. That 11th verse, see what you see there, what you get out of that.
Before okay. you go there, since Advantage put it like that, you know, me and him talk about something in this line the other day for a period of time because a guy came on the show and he was trying to put us in a box where that actually mm-hmm. we can't go out and vent because we are married or your wife, and if your wife don't go with you and all this, and if you're trying to witness to a woman and and you the only one there, she can come back and see that you trying to, I guess, call sexual harassment. That's a workup. To me, if God have already ordained you to go out and do a job, wouldn't he equip you with all the tools you need to do this? Why are we getting scared to go out and witness to people because of what people might think or say?
Amen. You know, amen. I agree with you. You know, we know that Paul had talked about the difference between a single person and a mad person, and you know, basically he was saying that, you know, he had remained to, you know, free because he didn't want nothing to hinder him from, you know, from the gospel. And Paul even said that there was a time that even for those who are married, you know, to be like they're not married in order to do the work of God. It's not saying, you know, just be rude to your wife or to your spouse or nothing like that, but, you know, you have to let them know that your main thing is to do the work in the will of God. And even during the time when in John chapter 4, we see that when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and, you know, and it was talking about how his disciples, you know, they possibly, you know, had an idea. They began to question why was he talking with the woman at the well. But, you know, it didn't stop Jesus from ministering to her, you know. And we know that, you know, he didn't, you know, come on to her or nothing like that. Well, as a matter of fact, I want to go to it. In John chapter 4.
If you know, me and Van Hatt was talking the other day, we can take that a little further. Where were the women when they was traveling from city to city? Mary Magdalene was right there, and they was traveling to Jerusalem. And I know it took them over. They didn't go over there overnight. They had to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you?
Yep.
How can you tell me, just because I'm a married man, that if there's a lost sheep out there, I shouldn't talk to them because I'm a married man?
No,
I shouldn't minister to them. I'm just asking a question because, and I called him up and asked him about it, and he used, what verse he used, Van Hamlet on me about shunning evil and how it's going to look to the world. And you know what I'm saying? This is not about how it's going to look to the world. This is how it's looking to Christian people. Because time, I go out and talk to somebody, then it's not the world persecuting, it's the Christian persecuting the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do the right thing and doing good. It's not the world. The world don't care what we are doing.
I think you were saying that he was talking, you the scripture about shunning the very appearance of evil, and he was saying that
is that? That was in what? Romans? Or was that in Corinthians?
Yeah, I know it's in this book, in this Bible. It says shun the very appearance of evil. That means something maybe look evil. That don't mean that it's evil. It may have the appearance of evil. And how some people discern the appearance of evil being different from what other people say this determinative evil. He's saying that he wouldn't stop and pick up a woman in distress because if he was a man, and then other people see him with that woman in the car, that would be an appearance of evil. So he would go get somebody and then come back and get the woman. He wouldn't help her right there and there because he feel like putting her in his presence and somebody else see it, that would be him having the appearance of evil.
Why are we as supposed to be pastors and why are we scared to do God's word? That's what I'm saying. Based on what y'all say tonight, we are scared to do God's work because what people going to think. I mean, I can't see that. I just can't stop doing God's work just because of what the mother of the church might say or the deacon going to say. I just can't see that.
This will be the situation, you know. Some things are the situation. Like you say, now if you could do something like that and you had time to do something like that, if a woman's car broke down, that's different. But if the woman was bleeding
you ain't got time to go get nobody else.
You got to get that woman and take it to the hospital.
I'm telling you, if you go back and listen to that Thursday night show, I mean, all he did was rip men and took and told them that certain things you won't do because you were married.
Are you married?
Are she married?
Are she married?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't. Well, you know, I can't be with my wife 24/7.
That's
you mean
true.
To tell
that
me
she got to work and all that?
Yeah, and she should. If this guy walking down the road and she know him, she shouldn't pick him up because she's married. Now she know this man, probably grown up with him from childhood. He shouldn't, based on what he's saying, because she a married woman now, shouldn't pick him up. Because she married. Call somebody else to come pick him up. Now it's 97 degrees out there. I'm saying, man, suppose he walk, she go, and she stopped to the store to get somebody to call somebody. The man walk up about an hour later, fall down with a heat stroke. Who the blood on?
Yeah. Well, we have to be led by God and on all things that we do. I know that. You know, we know that. But as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the children of God. I mean, sometimes, you know, you are skeptical about people that you pick up. I mean, I picked up many people, you know, walking. And one white guy, he used to walk all the way from off the drive all the way up to Highway 4. And whenever I see him, you know, I would pick him up. I didn't really know him real good. I seen him a couple of times. But, you know, some people, you know, be like, well, no, man, you it's too dangerous to do that. You know, so sometimes, yeah, you have to be led by God.
No, we ain't talking about like that.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't talking about like that. We talking about people you know personally. It don't matter.
Yeah.
He said, like, this woman called to come, you know, she didn't have a ride to make it to service. And he ain't going to get her. She asked someone to come pick up. He said he ain't going. Now, he the pastor.
Mm.
He the leader. He said, I'm not going to go.
Yeah. Well, I disagree with that one. But, you know, that's just me, you know.
That's me, too. But I understand if you can't stand it. And you can't, if you're looking at a woman. But I'm saying, when we get to a certain age in our life, and I know he old enough, and I know he wise enough, that shouldn't affect anything but to get that woman there and she can get delivered and get fed. That should be your main part. You shouldn't be looking at it from the fleshly part. How can you look at that from the fleshly part when this woman need to be saved? I need help.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me get off of that.
Yep.
See, I get fired.
Yep.
I get fired up again because I just don't agree with that. And then what happened is it's going over the airways. And people in this congregation is hearing this stuff. I said, if you're going to say it in a way where it can go both ways, there's three sides to everything. Don't just put it out there that this is what you need to do and that's it. Going to put the all married men in a box, all married women in a box. You shouldn't do that if you live in a mess. You should tell, but in some instances, if you had to say that, there might be no other choice but for you to do it. If that was a woman, if that woman was laying in the ditch, beat up like the man, you telling me because she was a woman, you pulled a pass her by because you married.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that. Nope.
Surely
especially
when
you do the hospital. But when I go to the hospital and I see a lot of stuff, and I couldn't even do a hospital ministry based on what he's telling me because I'm going to be in the room. Mr.
Matt,
Mr. another
woman. Yeah. Well, like you said, certain situations, man, is totally different, you know. And, you know, so, you know, you have to be led by God. You know, sometimes even when you're led by God, it's going to offend people. Jesus, and especially if they're just religious people, Jesus offended many of the Jews who were religious, you know. You know, when he went in Simon, the guy named Simon house, and when the woman came there, and you know it is said is believed that she was a prostitute, and she came and wiped her hair, you know, wiped his feet with her hair, and you know.
Oh,
and,
that was
you know,
that was Magdalene though.
Yeah.
She was That was Magdalene. That she That was Lavender's sister, Mary.
Yeah, in other words, what I'm saying is, it doesn't mention that it was her, but it's believed that it was her because the lady came from Magdala, so that's why most people put it that it was Mary Magdalene. So, you know, even though I believe it was her too. The reason why I'm speaking like that, in case we got any scholars on the phone and they might try to, you know, say, oh, wait a minute, it don't say that it was actually her, you know. But, you know, yeah, most people believe
but
that
I
it was
Mary Magdalene.
Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene was the lady at the well.
No, it don't mention the woman at the well's name. But she, no, because that woman was from Samaria.
Right.
Yeah.
And she became a follower of Jesus Christ. That was Mary Magdalene. Now, it was more, it was, that Mary Magdalene was the woman at the well. The other Mary
See, Mary Magdalene, notice what it says, Mary Magdalene, right? Is she called Mary Magdalene because she came from a place called Magdala. And Magdala was a place that was well known for prostitution. It doesn't mean that she was a prostitute, but it's just the place she was from. It was well known for prostitute. But in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan woman. And
right.
The Samaritans and the Jews didn't make it too well. That's why
her
the woman
name
at the well
was
said,
what's her name, Magdalene?
No, it doesn't mention her name in John chapter 4. Yeah, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, I'm at John chapter 4. And, well, if you want me to tell you a little bit, it says in verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well and was about, it was about the sixth hour. Then comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Okay. Then verse 9 says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, seeing the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? So, you know, she was from a woman of Samaria, which Samaritans is believed to be half Jews, you know.
Yeah.
And by what you're saying now, well, in the eyes of the Pharisee, they would see that Jesus Christ at that point being there with the woman alone in the well, while his disciples was out going shopping for food, that would be appearance of evil. For him to
even
see with that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so and it goes back to what we were talking about now. If you're going to be a witness, if you're going to be in the world and not of the world, then you are not governed by the world system. And I think this pastor was talking about what 1 Thessalonians, I think that's the 12th chapter and the 22nd verse, where it's son to bear an appearance of evil. And I think if you were to read that from the 12th verse all the way down to the 21st verse, you would have a different outlook on what he's saying now. Because it's one thing to the church, and it's another thing to the believers. The believers who are saved already and born again, they should know these things. But we as believers have to know how we ought to conduct ourselves. I mean, how are we going to win a soul to Christ if we are afraid and worried about what the world is going to what the believers going to think of us. Not the world. They don't see it that way. But the believers, they're going to think evil of us. So how are we going to really make a difference if you got those who are saved thinking evil of you going out there witnessing something like Jesus Christ at the well? I mean, when the disciples came back, see him with that woman, what they said, they wanted to know where he get meat from. He's talking about this spiritual thing, trying to reach the lost. But if we are being put down because we are out there trying to reach the lost and someone see us with this woman that this man said he wouldn't dare pick up in distress, whether she was saved or not saved, worried about what people going to think of us, then I think that we are missing the point. But you turn to 1 Thessalonians beginning at that 21st.
That's the 12th verse.
in the fifth chapter in the 22nd verse.
Oh, the fifth chapter.
Just that one scripture where it says abstain from every form of evil. And all depending on what version you're reading from. Now, if you're reading from the King James version, I believe you're reading from a little different from this what I call paraphrase Bible that I'm reading from. It says abstain from every form of evil. And I think the King James version says abstain from the very appearance of evil. So it's all depending on how a person interpreted that. But if you go back but if you go back up to the 15th verse, you see that no one render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. And I think helping a person is a good thing. When that person is even stressed and they need help, you ain't got time to wait to get that help. But in that spirit of moment, you do whatever you can do to what? To help that person. Then you have to deal with whatever you got to deal with later.
Yeah.
Now, how do you see that? How do you see that at that 22nd verse? What it says?
Okay. Like you say, abstain from all appearances of evil. And and like you said, I have the regular King James version. You know, and so you know, like you said though. It's basically telling us to live a godly life, you know, do all we can to live godly, you know.
Right.
So that's what I get out of that. Isn't
part of godly life helping the widow and the single lady?
Exactly. It is.
Just because she's single and got a child, I don't supposed to talk to her. You supposed to. I'm saying, wait a minute, something wrong with this picture. And I talked to a single woman preacher yesterday. She said, what happened to her? And I don't think she's going to mind me telling this, that when her husband left her and she was a single mom and she wanted some of the deacons or the pastor to mentor her children because they still need a man and a figure. And the women ripple. They said, no. I mean, if we don't got to that point where we don't got so highly religious that we can't help a child because the mama's single, ain't got no. A child do need a man in their life, because I did it. I did it for several children that I know. And I know some of the replies that I got, but I did it for one guy, and later on this guy said, man, I didn't know you had another son. I said, I ain't got another son. I said, well, I adopt him as my son. But that's how the world. No, that wasn't the world. That was somebody in supposed to be a Christian. But you got to take young men that single women and try to help that young man become a man. That's why we got these half men now. Because we allowed, we didn't mentor those guys. And these women didn't mentor the young ladies because they feel like somebody trying to go with somebody, look like. Now, to me, I never look at it like that. And now that it's coming up to me, and God haven't put that in my spirit. So it's hard to me to accept something like that because I would do it.
But, you know, I agree with what Hampton said earlier, too. And as a matter of fact, I think you said it also. You were saying that, well, if that pastor feel like he can't handle the flesh part of it, you know, then maybe he shouldn't.
But when he preach on it though, he should clarify all that too. Just don't put it. This is what pastor should be. You should clarify that thing because you're gonna hurt some young man or some young ladies out there that just got married, just got into the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, but John, I can understand you seeing like that, but other people ain't going to see it like that. I said, but I didn't see it like that at one time. So I'm trying to help them too. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to help them too.
And like, you know, like Hamp was saying, you know, it goes all the way back to, you know, like he was saying that most people probably listening tonight, they already say they already born again. Now they got to learn how to live godly. And you know, like you say, everybody is on different levels. And so like the Bible says that once a person get born again or saved, Christ has to be formed on the inside of them. So their level might be different from your level, you know. You know, if they still operating in
a
carnal mind.
Yeah.
You know, a carnal mind works against God is what the Bible says. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 and verse 7. So, you know, if you can be saved, you can just be born again, but your mind is still worldly. And so this is why Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing or the changing of your mind, so that ye may prove. And that word prove there means show others, you know, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, you know, once our mind is renewed, then we're able to show other people what the perfect will of God is, and, you know, in the right way. But, you know, if we still carnal and they carnal, then you know, we can't really show them, you know. So,
yeah.
So, you know, everybody on different levels, man. You know, Jesus was able to go into, you know, these houses that, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees who were just religious people wouldn't dare to go in. You know, they say, the house is unclean. And you know, like, I like how they showed it on Jesus of Nazareth when they were saying, you would go into a sinner's house? And Jesus said, I'll go in and house it out for me. You know? Yeah, so, you know, yeah.
Well,
if you never come in the house, how you gonna clean it?
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole picture about this whole situation right now. If we ain't going in to clean the house up, how the house gonna get clean?
Exactly.
It can't get clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what Jesus Christ said, they crucified him, they hated him. In other words, and so I guess the same thing going to happen to you and me, where we do things that others feel that you, I mean, is the appearance of evil, and it's a matter of what you know concerning the scripture and what God has put in your heart to do, then that's what you go with. Because you're going to be criticized, you're going to be put down. And someone else can come right along with it and just say all manner of evil against you, but you know in your heart you have done the right thing. When you have done the right thing, so I think there's in the scripture somewhere where the word of God says to him that knows to do good and don't do good would be diminished, right? Now, some people might see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So therefore, you have to let the Spirit of the Lord lead you and don't let that stop you from doing what you know that God have put in your spirit to do. Maybe just like John was saying earlier, they may not have come into that knowledge. They may still be carnal minded in that area. And by this, you not to allow yourself to let them cause you to not to continue doing that which you know is good. You know it would be a good thing to help somebody out in distress in spite of what others might say. And by doing this, what you might can get away with it. But because you know what is right, then you're not going to get away with it. So like John was saying, not everybody's on the same level, and he's not on that level yet. So therefore, you know, for you to come down and decrease in what you know that is right to do, you might go out there and try to do it, and all of a sudden something, God punish you, or something bad might happen to you, because now you done take down what you know is right and letting this man, what he put out there, and you confronted him, but you can't change his thinking. The way he thinks, that's the way he going to think. But then you got to not to let that cause you to not to do what you know would be the right thing to do that situation. And God will bless you for it.
Look here. Let me tell you something. Ain't no man on earth going to tell me helping people is not what God's purpose is. You know what I mean? And just because it's a woman, it shouldn't matter. That God don't look at us like that. And I know that. God don't look at female, and we the one trying to do this thing. This is man thing. God don't look at us like that.
No.
You know that's why God looks at us like that.
And that's why you're in the world, but not of the world.
You're
lived by the world system. Yeah, the world system is governed by the devil, the evil one, Satan himself. He's the god of this world. And if he can blind our mind and keep us from doing what God called us to do, then we're going to lose the battle. Because what? Our vision comes from above, not from beneath. And if Christ is in us, he is the one that is working in us and through us. He's not here in the flesh. So these people are looking for Christ, but Christ is in the believers. And what we speak in the word, that's why the Bible says they continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine. That the doctrine that they gave these apostles, it goes from what, Acts all the way to Revelation. These are words. And when we believe the word of God and act upon the word of God and the Holy Spirit that is in us, what? It does the work. So therefore, we have to realize that what? God came into the world to save sinners. And I believe that's all we are left here to do, is to make a difference in the lives of the believers and to let those who are not born again question. The Bible says even if they don't read a book, they're going to read our lives. Because what? If nature itself let them know there is a God. And the only way they're going to know the true and the living God is we as believers have to be a witness in our life living. And we got to keep ourselves from the evil. We got to keep ourselves from doing that which we know is right, is the right thing to do. We do it. Because the Bible says what? Some people are still on the milk. They can be a pastor still on the milk. But we who are growing in the grace and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are on the meat. Some people can't have a certain conversation when you're talking about the Lord because they are not there yet. That means that what? Some people that just stop growing. And some of them have a great congregation. Some of them have a great followers. And these are the type of people that sometimes you have to just move on. And then you have to keep on going because the Bible says what? The angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner come to Christ. Just think about it. The angels in heaven rejoice.
And what happened is he didn't specify male or female.
He said, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinned shall die. So if all souls belong to Jesus Christ, male or female, the Bible says God wills that nobody perish. It's God wills that everybody go to heaven. But we know that it's not going to happen, but it's not for us to judge. So we don't pass up anybody. We just do what God called us to do, and God opened up a door. But that same woman that was passed up, that was in distress, she could be like a Samaritan woman. When she come into that knowledge, she is not saved. You know how what she could be when it comes down to being a woman like the Samaritan woman, she could tell other people. So that one person that you pass up, that you could have witnessed to, could be the coming of multitudes of people. You never know how God going to use that incident, but you have done your part. You have been an opportunity to witness to her, and then she could be a vehicle that would bring multitudes of people to Christ. So you have to look at it from a positive standpoint, not from a negative standpoint.
Amen. Well, you know, one other illustration that I saw personally, and I heard the pastor testify about it, was Creflo Dollar. He said that the Lord had led him. Now, it sounds a little crazy. He said the Lord had led him to go to the script club and talk with a couple of women who were scrippers. And I don't know if, you know, he had some of his people with him or whatever. And the point is, a couple of the young ladies started going to his church. And, you know, and he was testifying and telling people about it. And he was saying, if the Lord didn't tell you to do this now, he said, don't go in there, you know, thinking that, you know, you're going to just go do it just because you feel like doing it. He said, make sure the Lord tell you to do something, you know, if you're going to do something like that. You know, like Jesus said, sometimes you
understand
He said he himself can send you out to labor. But then he said to the disciples, but you have entered into other men's labor. So, you know, even the Lord can send you, and, you know, you can be all in the spirit. But the thing is, if you don't keep your focus, you don't stay prayed up, you'll be done getting the flesh.
Well, see, what I'm saying is, when God send you out like this, God don't send nobody to me. God ain't gonna send me no way that He ain't already equipped me, done showed me, and got me in a position that He gonna get all the glory and all the victory. He ain't gonna, not the God
Amen.
I serve.
Amen. That's what I'm saying.
When God send me to somebody, I know without a shadow of a doubt, He done equipped me. He done know how the outcome gonna be. He just waiting for me to do what I'm supposed to do, then He can get the victory. But we saying we scared. We are scared to do God's work because it's a woman. We're scared.
In other words, what you said, we look for excuses not to do
what
is right. We look for excuses not to be able to be an effective witness, because that could be an excuse right there, worried about what people going to think of us.
Well, people going to think of you.
And if you're going to be Jesus Christ, that's why they crucify Him.
Oh, my God.
So you see, if the world hates you, but that shouldn't come from the believers. That shouldn't come from leaders, pastors. When they see a good thing, can't recognize. That's why the Bible said, when it comes down to wisdom, he that willeth serve must be wise.
Amen.
And it comes down to using wisdom. That know how to apply it. And then this is
the
situation that
they ain't got that yet.
Amen.
I don't care.
Yeah. And like you said, man. You know, a lot of times
they ain't got that yet.
That's right, and a lot of times those be just emotional Christians. They're not word Christians. They're like going to church and hear the preacher entertain them. They hear the preacher say high.
Amen.
They ain't no word.
Amen.
If people don't know the word and that the word says to go out and stuff like that, they still going by that fleshly mind, that human mind. You know, they ain't going by what the spirit and the word says. So. Like I said, that's the level that they on. And so that's why a lot of times, people who come with different religions and different faiths can easily convert those kind of people because they won't get into the word.
Amen.
So, and then they can lose the salvation that they do have. Just like tonight we're talking about the Roman road of salvation and, hemp. I think you kind of like put a twist on where we was going, and I definitely believe it was the Lord, because all of this need to be said too, and like Mike Tyson, he started off as a Christian. I think Rosie Grail had got a hold of him, but because he never got deep enough yet, he wasn't rooted as Jesus told a story about the seeds, the sower and the seeds. And a Muslim came along and spent a whole lot of time with him, and he became a Muslim. See, because he didn't, he ain't knew enough word. People can easily move you, and but if he had taken out time and got a good foundation, then I doubt if he would have been able to move him that fast. So our salvation.
Well, you got to understand one thing too, that most people now, in certain situations, in the arena that he, I can see that happen to him because of one reason only. I can see that happen to him because he never was brought up in a Christian background, so anybody can come along and tell him a lie. People believe a lie before they believe the truth. And if I come back and tell you a good lie,
that's the word, amen.
If I come out and tell you a good lie, you'll follow me. You ain't gonna follow the truth, cause the truth's gonna hurt.
Cause Bible said the devil lied from the beginning. That's how he talked, lies to people. But if you don't know the word, the Bible says he's the father of liars. That means he is a liar. So you know how to master that.
Amen. So like what you're saying. The Bible says that many deceivers shall come and deceive many. While they deceiving others, they deceiving themselves too. Because see, they already believe the lie, so now they convinced, and so now they're spreading the lie to somebody else. you know.
And
so,
that's a money thing, man. They want to get into his money, so they tell a good lie. They send someone to tell, that was a setup. They send someone to tell a good lie to get him over where they can get funded. That's it. It's fun. It's money. And they go after people like that. We, as Christians, we're scared to go after people like that.
Well, you know, I think Rosa Grill, he went out after him, but, you know, like you said.
Yeah, I understand. I understand he did that.
Yeah.
But that's when time Rosa go after. This mother probably wasn't even thinking about Mike Tyson until Rosa went after him. That's how the enemy works.
Mm-hmm.
I got him. Now you about to change him, so I need to go pull him back the other way.
That's right. That's the devil.
Well, you know, well, kind of like getting back to what we were talking about. I want to say, first, I don't want to cut across anything that you know, anything that y'all have to say. But I know we have discussed a whole lot tonight. It's probably what we have been talking now for about an hour, right?
That's it.
Yeah. But I just want to say this real fast to anybody that's listening out there about the topic. The reason why we was calling it the Romans Road to Salvation is because, number one, most of the scriptures that we was discussing tonight was, you know, coming from the book of Romans. And, you know, we don't want to take for granted that if, you know, that, you know, even though everybody that's listening might have already accepted Christ, but just in case of anybody listening who have not accepted Christ, we want to say this for you. Well, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us this. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so, you know, if you don't believe that you have sinned, read that scripture. If you believe that the Bible is the word of God, notice what it says, "For all." All means everybody, black, white, Chinese, Indian, Puerto Rican, Mexican, regardless of your race, color, or your gender, male or female, for all means everybody. And the word have is not saying that you're waiting to sin. The word have means that you already have sin. So, and what is sin? Sin is anything that is against God's will, way, or his way of doing things. So all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or we have fell short of reaching the mark, or doing, or following God's way, his will, following his word. So, and then, so when we go back even to Psalms chapter 51, David has said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." David also says in verse 5 that I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me or became pregnant with me. So all of us have sinned, and we have sinned against God. And because we have sinned against God, the Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin is death. And that word wages there means the price, the cost, the penalty, or the judgment for sin is death. And so when we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God had told the man Adam, when he put him in the garden, he said, "Of every tree of this garden you can freely eat of," verse 16. But then when you go to verse 17, but he says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely," notice, "you shall surely die." Surely die. In other words, Adam, if you sin against me, the penalty for your sin is going to be a death penalty. Okay. The wages of sin is death. The price for sin is going to be death. The judgment for your sin is going to be death. But then when we finish Romans 6:23, it says, but, so that means even though the price of sin is death, but then the word but appears, meaning that there's something else that can happen. But the gift of God but the gift of God. So God wanted to give man a gift. But the gift of God is eternal life. And then it tells who this eternal life is through. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So therefore, God gave Jesus as a gift to the world so that we can have eternal life through him. And so, well, like I said, I want to keep on going. If y'all guys have anything y'all want to add to this, you know, go ahead and
come in. Another way, according to the scripture, through one man we all die. That's Adam.
Amen.
And through one man we all can live. That's through Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. Money can't buy it. It's a gift. If someone gives you a gift, you accept that gift.
Amen.
But you can reject that gift. But when you accept that gift, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, they have eternal life. When you accept that gift, the price has been paid. When you think about Jesus' death on that cross, the way he suffered, the way they beat him, the way they stripped him, and yet, it's without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sin. And that's where we believe that after we have received this gift and God allow us to live a little bit longer here, that we should share that testimony, not about us, but about what he have done. He paid the price. He sacrificed. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he did. And my testimony is that Jesus Christ died for me. And I know I have eternal life. When I die, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to spend eternal life. So if there's someone out there listening that I'm not saved, I haven't been born again, ask yourself the question, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? Well, you will spend eternity somewhere. And only two places, that's heaven or hell. And it's God's will that you spend eternity with him in heaven. And if you can accept that gift, you're just as good as in heaven right now.
Amen. Amen, amen. And I tell you, man, we're on the same page because before you came out with that scripture about, you know, by one man death came and by the other man he would give you life, that was my next that was my next chapter, and it's Romans chapter 5, so I know we're in the same spirit, amen. And I'm going to read verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered or came into the world. And then it says, and death by sin, and death by sin. And, you know, that's going all the way back to the story that I just talked about in Genesis chapter 2. So death came by sin. And then it says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So death had passed upon all of us through the sin of Adam. And it says now it caused all of us to have sin because we have the nature of sin. Not only do we do the action of sin, but we was born with the nature of sin.
Amen.
And then I want to go to the verse that you also brought out, Hemp. It's verse 19 of Romans chapter 5, and it says, "For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one." Shall many be made righteous. So by the obedience of Jesus Christ, many people will be made righteous. So, as Hemp said, we have to be born again. We have to accept the gift that God has given unto us. And while he was talking about the gift, another scripture came to mind, which was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And it talks about, for by grace, by God's grace, are you saved through faith. Are you saved through faith? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So therefore, there's nothing that you or I could do to save ourselves. That's why it's through the faith of what God has done through his Son. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, we can't say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do to assure myself that I'm going to go to heaven I'm going to go down to the church tomorrow, and I'm going to give $1 million, and that should get me in heaven's door. Won't work. Can't buy your way into heaven, regardless of what you do. I don't care how many religious acts you do. You have to accept that gift that God gave for eternal life, and that gift is, again, Jesus Christ. I mean, you have to receive it. You can't just believe it, but you have to receive it. And as he said, anytime that somebody is want to give you something, and I want to reiterate what Evangelist Hampton already said, you have to make a decision whether you're going to receive it or whether you're going to reject it. So we can believe it all day long. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. But the devil won't have eternal life. Amen. But God has given us a chance to receive eternal life through accepting
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Pastor Jonas, what I like about you and those who are out there listening on the airwaves, the Bible says prove all things. And we are proving it and hold fast that which is good in Scripture. Now, I don't remember where it's at like I used to, but I know it's in the book. And I like you, John, because you know where to go find it. You get a reference and all that. But what we speak, and we know that it's in the Word, and if you challenge us, we can go to the Scripture. We can go to the book. So when we speak, we're speaking things that we know that is written according to the Scripture. And that's what I like about you. You can go to the Word of God, because the Word of God will stand forever. If heaven and earth shall pass away before one jot or tittle of the Word fail. And so we know that this Word is true. And in this, we just trying to set you on fire and get you all fired up so you can just know that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Each one of us as an individual, if we got breath in our body, God has a plan for you. He wants you to not just bless yourself, but he'll bless you to be a blessing. Bringing souls into the kingdom of God, teaching them and living the life before them so that we can continue to just flood these airways. People are listening now. I believe that we're here to encourage you, not to bring you down, not to put you down, but to encourage you, to motivate you so you can know that this conversation here is a conversation about Jesus Christ. The Bible says somewhere in the Scripture that God remembered those who hold conversation talking about God. I think that's the Scripture somewhere in there, right, John?
Say that again.
In the Old Testament? See, God remembered the conversation.
I'm not sure on that one. But I remembered a Scripture similar to what you're saying. I don't know. I don't remember exactly where that one is. But I have read across it. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look that one up because that's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. God remembered the conversation of those that talked about him. And what we're doing tonight, we're talking about God and his will so that we can know that we are steering people in the right way. And God going to reward you for these conversations. You may not get it here on this earth, but I believe that when we get to heaven, God going to reward each man according to his work. So don't be weary in well-doing. For in due time, you're going to reap what you sow if you feel it not. So when people come all evil against us, trying to stop us from doing good, send it back to the pit of hell. Pray it back into darkness and say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. And keep on sowing the seed, keep on sowing the word that people can be saved, people can believe and receive that gift. So
amen.
I don't know how much time we got left here tonight, but I enjoyed this. I'm sitting up here in my truck just feasting on the word of God so that I can continue to pray and be encouraged and to encourage others. And I hope that those that are listening can realize that what? God travels these airways. I can't see you, but God is a spirit. He sees all of us, and I believe that God is with us, and the presence of God is being manifested. So that's what I enjoy to do, help bringing people to experience the presence of God. This is a divine time we have had here tonight, and I believe that it will not go in vain. His word going forth, and it will not return void.
Amen. That's right. Amen. And so in conclusion, or, to end everything tonight, And like we said, we was talking about the Romans Road to Salvation, and again we said the reason why we're calling it the Romans Road to Salvation, because most of the scriptures that we're talking about is coming from the book of Romans. And so there is one more final scripture that that's in Romans that we want to share tonight before we get off the airwaves. And that very scripture tells you how to accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior. You know, we don't want to talk about salvation and not, you know, give you an opportunity to receive salvation, you know, even for some of those who may be believers. Some of you probably had just got baptized in water, but you never went through what is called the sinner's prayer or the prayer of salvation. You might say, well, yeah, I'm already in the Lord because, you know, I've been baptized in water and all that. And so even if you believe, that's great. But, I mean, I don't want to get into talking about the difference between water baptism and the sinner's prayer. I'll just say short, I believe you should go through the sinner's prayer first before getting baptized in water. Because number one, Paul says it this way. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you will confess with your mouth, the word confess means admit. Admit with your mouth. With your mouth, not the preacher's mouth, not the teacher's mouth, but with your own mouth. The Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says, thou or you shall be saved.
Shall
if you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So why do I believe that you should get saved by mouth confession first, other than going to get baptized first? I know that many of us have read Mark chapter 16, where Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, first of all, when we look at that statement, Jesus, this was after Jesus' resurrection. This was after his resurrection. So he was talking about believing in his resurrection. That's what he was talking about. And so this is why Paul says that if you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 15:14. Paul says if Christ was not raised from the dead, then everything that is being preached or teach is in vain, useless, for nothing or no good. And so when we look at water baptism, I know most people say, well, it means to wash away your sin according to Acts 22:16. But then we skip Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12, which show water baptism, when you get dipped under the water, means to be buried with Christ. And when you rise from the water, it needs to be risen with Christ as an outward sign that you believe. So, therefore, if water baptism shows burial and then resurrection, and if you don't believe God raised Jesus from the dead, then why would you get baptized? So that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:29, he says basically that if a person don't believe God raised Jesus from the dead, he said, then why are they baptized for the dead? So there's no need to get baptized to be risen from the water if you don't believe God raised Jesus from the dead. So the preacher would have to hold you under the water till you say you believe.
In other words, a dead man can't save you. If Christ is dead and hasn't been risen, that'd be why you're going through all these rituals.
Exactly. Amen. That's right. That's right. A dead man cannot save you. So that's why it's good to go through the sinner's prayer or the prayers of salvation, and you confess and you tell that person who is going to baptize you, yes, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
And so when you get saved by mouth confession first, then go ahead and get baptized in water. But remember, the main baptism is the one of the Holy Ghost or of the Holy Spirit. Now, so I'm going to let Evangelist Kempton tell you how you can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior after you believe on the gospel that he died for your sins, he was buried, and that he rose again. And I want you to notice what verse 13 says. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means anybody.
Would you
tell the people that's listening tonight how they can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And I'm gonna be quiet, but the reason why I feel like this is so very important now, what we're talking about tonight, is because of the signs of the times. Man, we know that Jesus is even at the door. We see all the signs that's happening now. The Bible says that Jesus said, before I return back, it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have Sodom and Gomorrah all over the place now. He says, before I return, it's going to be like the days of Noah and the flood. They have found the bones of the Nephilims, which meaning the giants that was mentioned in Genesis chapter 6 during the time of Noah and the flood. And they have found the very real Ark of Noah on Mount Ararat, like the Bible said it was all the time. So the question would be is, why is Jesus allowing, or God allowing, all of these things to be found during this time? Because he's knocking at the door. He's showing us the signs that everything he said is coming to pass. And if we wait too late, we wait till the door of salvation is closed, it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. They could have been banging on the boat saying, let us in. But God himself has shut the door to say that the door of salvation, the door for you to be saved now has been closed. It's too late to get in. So we're going to let Evangelist Hampton tell you how to come into the door of salvation now today, which is Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He says, I am the door. I am the door. Just like you had to go through that door to get saved in that ark. Now we have to come through Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Evangelist Hampton, take it over.
And according to the scripture, the word of God said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And you have heard
Amen.
Enough concerning the scripture of what the Lord is saying. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? For the preaching of the gospel to them that are perishing is foolishness. But we who preach the cross, Jesus Christ and crucified, it is the salvation of God. It's his plan of salvation. It's his
Amen.
Way of bringing you into eternal life. And I want to say to those out there, this could be the last word, the last opportunity that you have in order to have eternal life. Christ could come in a minute now. He said, this gospel should be preached throughout the whole world. Then shall the end come. Who do we know? What do we can say? Where is the end? You could be that
Amen.
Last person right now that gets saved. Could be that last person. And the rapture could take place. And the Bible talking about the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive shall be caught up to meet. It could happen right now. It could happen before we get off of this airwaves. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Believe that he was crucified. Believe that God sent him into the world to save sinners. I was lost. I was a sinner. God sent Jesus Christ. He saved me. Now I'm preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blood that he shed on that cross. So without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. When you go to the doctor, when you're sick, the first thing they want to do is to what? Draw blood. Because there's something about the blood that they can tell everything that's going on throughout your body. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And we all have sinned. As the word of God goes forth, we all have been contaminated. We all need that blood. And only through Jesus Christ can you receive that washing away of your sin. It's a gift. You receive it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you wait until you see something happen, you're not going to get saved. You'll never get saved. It's by faith. It's without faith, it is impossible to please God. Accept it. Believe it.
Amen.
And you got
Amen.
It. Don't try to muscle up a feeling. Don't try to go by your emotion. Just believe. I believe that Jesus died for my sin on that cross and got up from the grave, resurrected with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. And I'm basing my salvation up on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I know for this that if I die right now, I have eternal life. I won't have to worry about going to a burning hell. I won't have to worry about being tormented for the rest of my life. I know that I'll be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. No more dying, no more sickness, no more devils, no more demons. It's in there. Christ is Lord. Even you shall bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm glad that I bow before him already. And I have been accepted, and you can too. And I pray that everyone that is listening out here tonight will take it and believe it and hold fast and just allow the Lord to continue to just pour out his spirit in you. As a matter of fact, you be baptized in Holy Ghost and fire, that out of your belly can flow rivers of living water, that you can every day can know that you're living in the presence of the Lord. God bless you.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Evangelist, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Amen. Amen. So you heard the man of God tonight. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and into your life and save you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And Jesus even says that the Father will give the Holy Ghost to those who ask him. Amen.
Amen.
And it is his sign and it is his seal that you belong to God. Because Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he or she is none of his. So we
none
need God's Spirit. Amen. We need his Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So it's as simple as that. You know, you got to believe, like he said, and, you know, just invite him to come on in. And, you know, come in your heart. Come in my life, Jesus. Save me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And give me the power to live for you all the days of my life.
Amen.
Help me, God, to go into the right church to fellowship and learn
yes.
your word so, you know,
yes.
so I can learn more and more about you. Because if we know the word of God, we know God. Because the Bible says,
Amen.
In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So when I know
yes.
the word of God, I learn who God is.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for Evangelist W.C. Hampton joining us tonight. And we thank God for Minister John Hill.
Amen.
Coming on the line and behind the scenes, a man of many talents helping us out tonight and allowing us to come on the airwaves. And we pray God's blessing upon him, Evangelist Hampton. And I want y'all to pray for me tonight. And we pray for everyone who has been listening tonight that God will deal with you and stir up
Amen.
The gift that's on the inside of all of us tonight, that we'll get on fire and we'll be stronger and better witnesses for the Lord in these last and these evil days.
Amen.
And
yeah,
that we'll show the example. Amen. That we'll
yes.
show the example of what
yes.
God wants us to be in this world.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll be ready for the coming of the Lord.
Ready, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Evangelist, is there anything else you need to say before or you
yeah,
want to close
I
us out?
I just want to say an encouraging word to Brother Hill, Minister Hill, that he be encouraged because I know he was a little upset about what's going down concerning this and us being used of God as God lead and guide us, and to be encouraged and to know that, you know, I mean, God is filling him so that he can let nothing cause him to stop being an effective soul winner, a person that is in Christ doing what is right. And as a matter of fact, I just want to lead this prayer. The Bible says, two or three gather in my name, touching and agreeing. Right now, you'll be in the midst. And as Brother John, Pastor John, and Minister Nathan hear that we touch and agree right now, that every soul that is listening
yes.
to this ministry, that we bind every foul spirit, every spirit that tried to discourage us, be sent back to the pit of hell in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We bind on earth, you're binding in heaven. Once we loose on earth, you're loosing in heaven. And we believe that even this night, that we can believe that God has sent it back to the pit of hell, and we can continue on, not being afraid, not being disturbed or concerned about what the enemy is trying to do, but the word of God is powerful, sharp, quicker than a two-edged sword, and our weapon, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to put them down in a stronghold, and we're using the word of God to bring down these strongholds. See the pastor, minister, the healer, be encouraged tonight. All those that are listening, we believe that God is healing you from all type of disease, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, and that God has given you the increase in Jesus' name. Back to you, Pastor Shula, and I'm excited tonight. I've been blessed, and I know you have too.
Amen, amen. I thank God for you, evangelist. Amen. You know, like I said, I thank God for your words and, you know, the things that you shared with us tonight. And I bid you Godspeed, that God will continue to use you. And Minister Hill, that God will continue to use you. And so, again, we say to everybody, thank you again for tuning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good night. All right.
Good night. God bless. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
What kind of love would bear my sin? You feed my soul from all of him. To call an enemy a friend. This love I cannot comprehend. Jesus did it all for me. Yes, he's the one of whom I speak. His sacrifice was so great. His mission was to save. So he died, oh Calvary.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, he took my penalty.
He did it all for me.
He rose again with power. He's alive this very hour. For he's coming back to reign upon his throne.